Feel incredible! Kokoku
demo! It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Welcome to another episode of Animation! The squad is back and three quarters of effect. No bitch ass, hoe ass, punk ass, chump ass Brennan.
Oh, he is not here.
Bitch
today.
Ass.
He's in the building,
ass,
though.
Brennan.
He in the building somewhere.
He a hoe to hear me. Ho.
But, you know, hoes do hoe things. Bitches do bitch things. And he's one of them.
He's all of them.
So he's not here today. Nothing wrong, nothing to lay on.
I asked Brennan, I said.
What more can I say?
I said, Brennan, I said, are you a hoe or a bitch? He said, yes.
But you know what we do on here, man. We do our talks, our debates. We do our one-offs and stuff like that. Join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation, S-H-U-N, end of the year, man. First of all, I just want to thank all the Patreon, all our fans in general.
Everybody.
That listened to us this whole year. We had, like I said, a lot of recasts.
Yes,
a lot of, I seen a couple people at the shows in Arizona, and they were just saying like how they... you know, they had us in their top two podcasts.
That's crazy.
That is wild.
And it's like, this is like hundreds or like maybe even like 1,000, whatever how many hours it was. I was just like, that's fucking crazy to me.
That is crazy.
That is crazy that you're listening to us that much. And even on repeat.
Wow.
Wait, even on repeats.
Oh, like here Spotify comes the hoe.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, hey, macaroons.
Candy.
Brennan came in here and threw us some snacks, guys.
Gotta keep our blood sugar up, you know.
Some cake in that. Wow.
But yeah,
somebody listened to us. I'm sorry, I forgot. It was a young lady. You might have her name, but she listened to us for 4,600 minutes. That's 76 hours.
She might have sent. Some people might have sent
3 days.
Yeah, that's
damn near 2 weeks worth of work.
I mean, we've done that many episodes.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
So, thank you for riding with us.
Yeah.
And just sticking by and listening to their show. Getting those numbers up. Appreciate it.
How do you guys feel about, because we did make a big shift a couple years ago, and the podcast has been different since. How do you guys feel about where we're at now versus where we've been at those past couple years prior to that?
I haven't listened to any of your guys' old stuff. I'd be curious to watch that, compare that to an episode now. I think it has more structure now.
Definitely.
Like the way it more feels more like a show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like the structure of it, but I do like when we get to go off and have the side ones that we, and those are kind of reminiscent of the old style
point,
we used to do.
We give that person their platform.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think we should be, man, this is me, and I feel like maybe you guys feel the same way. I think we should be way bigger than we are.
100%.
I think we...
100%.
When I hear about other podcasts, when I hear people talk about it, they're always like, wait, you have an anime podcast? Wait, there's an anime podcast? Wait, there are anime podcasts?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I feel like we should be probably considered a top 5, if not top 3 anime podcasts.
If not top 1, because we're the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
There we go.
I mean, there it is. But yeah, I mean,
do y'all truly feel like that though? I know y'all initially used to give me shit, but I feel like more and more y'all have leaned into it and owned it. But do you guys really feel that way?
To be honest, I don't. I mean, I think there's definitely stuff we could do to always. You can always get better. And
for
definitely listening back to some of our stuff, I'm like, we could tweak that. We could do this. Mm. I think there's definitely things we could do. But you know, I mean, I have definitely listened to some others, and I'm not gonna name names. But I was just like, yeah, we're better than this.
this is hard to listen to, and I feel like because we come from a perspective, like I guess because we, and I guess it depends what you like. You might like the extra like hardcore. This is how we're going to sound, whatever sound.
Yeah.
Whereas I do like that we just sound like regular cats talking about anime, just being like, yo, fuck
butchering
that.
Names.
Butchering names here and there, you know, saying some wild stuff, being like, whoa, even, I mean, hit with balls, whatever. It's just like, it's so random and funny, and it's. But I just think it's...
It can be more approachable to a larger public.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's how I feel. What about you?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I felt like this the moment I've been on the podcast. I know that, you know, we had some stuff that we needed to get better. And I remember telling y'all either the last week or the week before last, I was listening to myself on, you know, driving. I was like, this man sounds terrible. I'm just waiting for that phone call from Keenan of like, hey, man, it was cool. Brennan back. I'm going to need you to get up off of it, you know. And, you know, that call never came. But I, you know, turn this into, this is me. Like, I am the person, everything that I've said that I truly believe in, but I know I had to, like, amp it up. And, yeah. And I feel like all of us at some point kind of held ourselves accountable to make this show better. And then yeah. we had that meeting during quarantine, which is like, hey, what does the next steps for us look like? And we yeah. took that next step, and I feel like our show, from a quality perspective, got a lot better.
We've definitely, I think, we've improved.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, sure. And be honest with you, even from a, like I said, shout out to our Patreons. You know, like, y'all showed us love. I didn't know how fast we're going to get to this.
Yeah.
We got to 100 patrons pretty quickly.
Yeah, less than a year.
Yeah, when I look at other people, like, a lot of people, they don't have as much as us, and they've been doing it longer, and they put out a lot of stuff, and I'm just yeah. like, yo, this just shows us that you guys love us.
Yeah.
Y'all rock with us. Y'all appreciate yeah. us. And we appreciate the fuck out of y'all. I can say that. I know.
Oh, absolutely.
Because yeah. talk as much as we like to do this, talking yeah. to a void would be some bullshit. Yeah. We wouldn't yeah. be a podcast 4 years later if we were just dropping this shit and had two people listening. Brennan, from a business standpoint, wouldn't have had allowed it.
I'm shutting this shit down. I'm shutting Diddy. I'm shutting the studio down. You gotta walk to Philly for cheese sake before I bring this shit back.
The same thing. Rod would have been like, man, I got too much shit on my plate already. I can't right. keep dropping these recaps and two motherfuckers listening to it. Yeah. And one of them is my dad. No, I'm not doing that shit.
Thanks, Harvey. Shout out to Harvey Fonda, man.
Oh, and I think even with Keenan and myself, we both have really busy schedules yeah. as content creators outside of this, and comedians and yeah. filmmakers and all that. We'd be like, where does this lie? Like, we can't keep allocating time to this. So, you know, you guys are the little same thing with Cam. Cam got 50 million things that he does too. And for him to come sit with us, yeah. even prior to, before he even started watching anime, to do that, like, we're literally here because of y'all. Yeah. No other reason other than that, because it wouldn't add up for either one of us five.
They're here because you guys have been consistent. I mean, you've taped
and that's
almost
true.
Every week for 3 years now.
Almost.
Yeah. I mean, we missed maybe mostly just holidays.
Holidays, yeah.
yeah.
A couple rare times when we just had to, our schedules just weren't just mm-hmm. out of line. But like,
yeah.
yeah, man, so we, like, this is the end of the year. This is the last episode of the year. So we just want to say thank you guys. You yeah. know what, man? You're our Christmas gift.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? <That's> nice.
That sounds nice.
That's all I want for Christmas is y'all, man. And, you know, if we get some more fans in there, too, to rock yeah. with us, man. Because yeah. it would be cool. I don't know how everybody else feels. But, like, if we got paid to, like, go on, like, even if it's, like, a three-city tour
yeah.
to, like, some real money.
And live? Do it live?
Yo, that'd be super dope. Because that at least, especially if the money is really right for us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it would really be. It's like for us to have to go out there, be able to pay Cam what he needs to be paid, yeah. Rod what he needs to be paid,
yeah.
whoever's coming with us to be paid to record the stuff.
I'm not getting paid.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm saying from a mechanic, I didn't say myself either. But it's just like, yeah, we will all get paid good money, which is like, it would be worth us going on the road. Because I know, too, I'm sure even with Rod, he might be like, all right, yo, if I'm going on the road, I need some money. Be paid for this shit.
We don't want to do no unplugs.
Gets back from not paying rent for 4 hours.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. Well, we do it 3 days. Yeah. I mean, hotel shit got to be paid for. Yeah. Flights got to be paid for.
Yep.
And it has to be worth me leaving for 3 days. And it's fucking worth it.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with me and I'm sure Ice. Ice has a business that he runs. So it's just like, for him to take time, for me to take time, Brandon to take time, from their businesses, from what we do, you know, it'll be dope to do, but it's going to take a lot for us to have to get out there. And shout out to DIYs. I know they're out there doing live podcasts in St. Louis, so shout out to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
Shout out to them.
You know, this week we are doing Bleach and Chainsaw Man episodes 9 and 10. But before we do that, we always got a weekly poll. What you got for us over the poll this week, guys?
Hey, we got a poll. This week's poll is Drip or Drown. Which one of these anime characters has the most drip on their chip? We got Yusuke from Yu Yu Hakusho. We got Doflamingo from One Piece. Future Trunks from Dragon Ball Z. Kento Nanami from Jujutsu Kaisen. Jolene Kujo from JoJo's. And Lee Luch from Code Geass. Of these six contestants, the winner was Yusuke Urameshi. Just because one of the things that people said to have him get the most drip. Well, before I go through that, number one was Yusuke with 37 votes. Doflamingo was a very close second with 31% of the votes. Mm-hmm. Future Trunks surprisingly tied with Kento at 12% of the votes. Jolene with 6%, and Lee Luch with his Louis Vuitton drip Came with this 4%.
Count Dracula.
Count, yeah. Definitely Count Dracula. But some of the comments that were given about Yusuke is because he gave you different fits. He gave you the green, the OG green, but then he had rocked it with the tank and the jacket mm-hmm. over it. Then he come with the jacket, with the blue jacket. He had it. Then he hit you with the yellow tank with the blue pants, I think it was. Yeah. Whatever it was. Like, he had different type of... His bag was a little bit more deep than the rest of the field. But Doflamingo was on his ass because he got the drip with the sash, the pink sash with the loafers and the pants.
Yeah, this dude looks like he could be in Velvet Revolver. Like, yeah. Some shit. Like, he'd be singing hair metal songs or something.
But that's who it was. I'm very, very shocked that Trunks didn't win this.
I'm a little surprised too.
Yeah, I'm very shocked.
I'm shocked. Who do you guys, out of these characters, who has the most drip? Is there somebody on here that you think should have been on here?
I was a little surprised by the Jujutsu Kaisen pick, but I mean, like, he is, I mean, the man dresses, I mean, he's in a suit almost all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of shows that have, like, a lot of style, honestly, because I thought about doing a poll sort of similar to this, you had a better idea. But the two shows that I was like, have to be included were Jujutsu Kaisen and Yu Yu Hakusho. Yeah. I just knew those shows had to be on there, and I figured they'd be the front runners. So, yeah. I'm not surprised Yusuke won this. I don't know if I had to like pick somebody else from Jujutsu Kaisen, it might be Gojo. Mm-hmm. But like, Yusuke had the rare thing where like you'll see characters wearing like alternate costumes and like end credit sequences all the time.
Like Bleach.
Mm-hmm. Yusuke.
Yeah.
Had it on the show.
Yeah.
Like he was changing up.
He got that shit on though.
Yeah. In the plot.
He got that shit on though.
I respect the winner. I respect who walked away with it. Yeah, for sure.
I'm not mad at Yusuke winning. I do think, I want to ask y'all this. My personal taste is Trunks still. Trunks and Yusuke for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure. Those are my personal taste. From looking at these pictures, I understand why. Who's doing the purple and pink again?
Doflamingo.
I understand somebody being like, "Yo, he's fire!" Like that. Yeah. I'm looking at this picture. I'm like, I don't know who he is like that.
He's a One Piece villain.
That looks kind of fire. Like I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
To ask y'all, whose drip would you actually rock though?
I don't know. I could pull any of this off.
Trunks.
Yeah. Trunks, maybe. Yeah.
Because somebody even said it in our chat, in the Patreon chat. He brought the jean jacket back.
Yeah. For sure.
Like, 100%. He had the jean jacket. For sure. Crazy with the sword. And I think he wasn't one of, at least in, and I know God gives Trunks shit, but at least in that moment, what he did, I feel like elevated his swag to a whole nother level. Because it's like, you came in. Frieza had these guys in a hell in a cell.
Yeah.
For episodes on episodes, and he came in and made easy work of it. With the jean jacket, and it was the sword. You know what? A lot of anime characters, at least half of the anime characters, they have this weapon and they don't never use it.
Right.
He got active with that sword.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really use it since then, he got active with it. And I think even the moment
he brought it back to Super.
With King Cole, when King Cole was like, "Oh, I got the sword now," he's like, "Bro, that ain't even it. Like, I'll sock you out without it."
Yeah.
So I think how he came in and everything, the allure of Future Trunks, I think that's what elevated his swag, and I think that's what I would probably can wear because he has pants. At first, I was like, "Is that man got on a fucking unitard?" But no, it's like pants. Where'd you get seat buckle? Fucking belt buckle, like that's dope. Like I think all of that is pretty cool. And
I would rock this on stage. Like if it came correctly, if I can get the dope tank top, black tank top, the right type of belt, or at least the jacket, the tank top with the chest out, and the kind of like the baggy pants.
Yeah,
I'll rock that outfit on stage for damn sure. Because I like jackets anyways. Mm-hmm. But even Nanami, like his drip's not bad for like a walk around. I feel like he could pull that off, right?
I was going to say, like, if I was going to try to pull off any of them, it would be his. But I don't know. I don't know if I could pull off those glasses. Those are very specialty glasses. Those little goggle things that he's got on.
Yeah.
Which one of these, this can be, of these universes, I feel like there's a clear winner. But of the universes, who do you think has the best drip out of these six universes?
I mean, I feel like JoJo goes wild.
Yeah, I feel like JoJo's is a runaway winner.
I'm not a fan of the showness. I got to watch the show before I say I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
But, like, just seeing the visual of JoJo, that's what they feel like they pride themselves on is how they look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so like, it's a wild, wild. Because even though the cat right here, this is like, This is a wild outfit they have on right now.
Yeah, homegirl.
Yeah, yeah. That's a wild outfit. But I can see it fits their style there.
And they said she was dripped out like this in jail. They was like, she's the only person to be have crazy drip in jail.
She's got a cape on in jail.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, thank you, guys. Shout out to the greatest fucking anime Patreon in the entire world.
Always appreciate y'all votes.
Y'all gonna have the ones dropping tomorrow.
Yes,
sir. It's gonna be another fun one. Please pull up on that early 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
All right, thank you for that poll, Ice, as always. Now get into these recaps. Chainsaw Man up first. Rob, what do you have for us?
Yeah, we'll get into the recap. As the dust settles from the Snake Devil attack and Aki absorbs Himeno's sacrifice, Katana Man and his partner, Akane, realize that powers run off. They don't really care much, though, as long as, you know, they're basically just there for Denji's heart. Unfortunately for them, then, the Ghost Devil has one last trick before disappearing, pulling Denji's ripcord, activating his chainsaw powers. As Denji and Katana Man fight, Akane calls in for backup. Men with guns charge up onto the roof, and Denji hits one and takes another hostage, telling Katana Man, hey, give up, or I'm going to kill this goon. And Katana Man couldn't really give less of a shit and cuts them both in half, like, at a moment's notice. The fight over, Katana Man morphs back to his human form. He and Akane pick up Denji's body, and body.
Yo, body.
Akane pick up Denji's body. And they get ready to leave. Around Tokyo, we see the dead bodies of the Special Division members gunned down in the streets. Several assassins stand over Makima's body, discussing, hey, we should split up and hide, when all of a sudden she stands back up smiling. At the Kyoto train station, two public safety workers, Kurose and Tendo, get the news about the hits around the city. They worry Makima will be arriving dead on the train, but when it pulls in, after some people run out screaming, Makima exits covered in blood that she says is not hers, and we see that her would-be attackers are all dead with, like, basketball-sized holes in their chest.
Thanks for the spoils, guys. Ice.
On their way out of the station, Makima asks for clean clothes, a room at a temple with a high elevation, and 30 convicts with life sentences. The convicts are gathered, blindfolded, and brought out to the temple courtyard where Makima is waiting for them. Kurose and Tendo are there as well, but are also blindfolded, as they are not allowed to see Makima's high-ranking contracts with secret devils. And that is when she goes to work. Back in Tokyo, as Akane and Katana Man and their men, or, you know, their backup people, are loading Denji's body into the car, they start popping and exploding one by one to all of their horror. They scatter and run, but they still get smashed by an invisible force. At the temple, Makima has the convicts say the name of each of the assassins and then smashes their hands together. The convicts drop dead, and miles away, another hitman explodes in a cloud of blood. When she finishes, she tells Kurose and Tendo, hey, yeah, I'm almost done here. We need to get back to Tokyo. Katana Man and Akane are still alive after the attack and hurry to try to get away with Denji. However, Kobeni soon arrives, having survived her assassination attempt with protection from Hirokazu, who went down, RIP. We then see that the skills that Himeno claimed Kobeni has, we see those skills in action, finally. She executes the assassin that came for her with her own gun and then rushes to the scene to help Denji. Akane summons the Snake Devil as Katana Man shoots his gun at her, but Kobeni dodges and runs up the snake, slicing Katana Man's arm off with a knife and shooting him with the recovered pistol. She then takes cover with Denji's body as Akane shoves Katana Man into the van and they speed off without their prize. Later, Makima gets an update from Madoka at the train station that Special Divisions 1 through 4 have been mostly killed except for him, Denji, Power, Aki, and Kobeni. Because of all that, the remaining personnel in Special Divisions will be absorbed into her Division 4, and she will be in charge. And he also hands in his resignation. I do not want this shit. However, Makima does get some help that she came for in Kyoto, as Kurose and Tendo plan to join her in Tokyo to help her division train. Aki wakes up in the hospital to Denji and Power fighting over food. They update him on the situation, tell him that Makima has summoned them, so they head out. Alone, Aki draws his sword and asks the cursed devil how much time he has left, and the devil tells him 2 years. He takes out a cigarette to ease himself, but in that moment thinks of Himeno and just bursts into tears. Denji listens to him cry outside his room and wonders why he hasn't cried for any of his lost friends. He wonders for a moment if maybe something is broken in him, but he decides, hey, why would I take this too seriously? Let's just move on. So he and Power meet with Makima and at the public service graveyard and meet with Himeno's old trainer, Captain Kishibe. He quizzes them on their motivations for being devil hunters and seems to like their answers, so he agrees to take them on as students. Makima leaves, and the training gets to a start as he snaps their necks and feeds them blood to heal them. He tells them that they will continue to fight him and heal until they can beat him. Kishibe says he's the most dangerous devil hunter alive, so if they can beat him, they'll be pretty powerful devils. As they attack him again, he he slaughters them with ease just over and over again. At the hospital, Kurose and Tendo check out Aki. It seems that the Fox Devil has abandoned their contract since Aki got her hurt. They tell him if he wants to continue fighting, they'll need to get him contracts with more powerful devils. As they leave, a woman stops by to visit him. At the graveyard, Kishibe finishes the training for the day and heads off to drink, leaving Denji and Power to heal themselves. As the two devils walk home, they plan on how they can team up and try to outsmart Kishibe the next day with their training. When Kishibe shows up at their apartment in the morning, Power springs a trap with blood spears shooting out at their teacher. As Denji leaps down from the floor above to try to slash him with an axe, Kishibe just quickly dodges the attacks, spin kicks Denji off the balcony, and congratulates them on a good effort, but it's like, hey, you got a lot more to learn. He turns to leave for the day, and as Denji celebrates another day done, Kishibe sends another knife into his head, telling him, hey, training's not over, and never trust an opponent, especially me. At the public safety office, Kurose and Tendo take Aki deep underground, where the most dangerous devils are kept, to forge a new contract. They ask him about his visitor, and he explains it was Himeno's sister. She gave him a letter that Himeno had sent her, saying how much she wished Aki would just agree to go private so they could live happily together. Still, Aki proceeds with grim determination and they go down into the cells to the future devil. They say that this is who he should contract his next devil is next. This is who he should make his next devil contract with, and wish him best of luck on a good deal as they push him into the cell where the devil waits in the shadows. And that's where we finished up on Chainsaw Man.
Great job, Rob. Went right through that like bad food.
Oh, I thought you was gonna say like a hot knife,
man. Just like just real quick side. Jack, did you guys ever watch the show Heroes?
No. It was huge.
That first season.
I the first season was so hyped, right?
The first season was crazy. Yeah. Second season was not great. I made it to the first episode of season three, and Siler, this big bad guy, dropped this line that was like, "That's behind me like a bad taco," and I was like, "I can't do this anymore."
Oh no!
Anyway, that's what that line made me think. Yeah, just like, oh, I lost my powers for a bit, but that's behind me like a bad taco.
Oh my god!
Horrendous. All right,
that's sick.
Chainsaw Man episodes 9 through 10. Recap by Rob. All right, first question, man. I guess it's kind of combined. Did Makima's power live up to your thoughts? And another one, just I guess they're kind of separate, but let's put them together. Fuck it. Would you rather have Makima's power or the Death Note, and seeming how, you know, you can kind of kill somebody from a distance? It seems like her power is pretty much, if she can see you and get your name too, or at least have something see you and get your name, then you're doomed.
Yeah,
you're doomed. So did her power live up to your thoughts, Ice?
The first question, it did live up to it. I think if something like that, if you hold her power off this long, you have her get killed off like that, for her to come back. And I think how they introduced it was great. I think her even being calm about the whole situation and not even frantic, because usually when these powers get exposed, it's like it was a crazy situation, but like somebody's usually pushed against the wall and it's like, all right, well, fuck it, here we go. So like, I think something like this, with her being calm the entire time and we're just like, hey, let me get some names. And then just motherfuckers starting exploding, and then other people peeping what's going on, and just like, yeah, she's not to be fucked with. I don't think it was a pump fake at all, and I feel like this isn't the extent of her power. I feel like, you know, she might even have more in there. Of the two, I feel like, at least from what I can see right now, Makima's power takes a little bit more work. I think I would still go with Makima, just because I don't want a Shinigami with me the entire time. And everything that comes with the Death Note and all of that, I think hers is like, if she wants to stop being a hunter today and not really have those powers, unless her contract is something that fucks her lifespan up, then maybe. But if it's not and I can just stop it, then I would go with Makima, just off of the back end stuff.
Yeah, it feels like her power contract, it did live up to the hype. It's actually exceeded the hype for me, or the thought of it. I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
I knew she was going to be a beast, but this is like, and like you said, this is like probably the beginning of her power.
Yeah.
I would pick Makima also. But I do think there is a contract, whatever, to where it's just like, she's not going to live long.
Yeah. If
she's 25, she ain't making it to 40.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But like you said, it's like, I think even the stuff that she has to do to even get herself to set off, at least that particular power, like smashing and crushing people, that would keep me in check, because I have to sacrifice people's lives. So now I have to grab some random people to sacrifice. Because
if you in a bind, you can't go to the prison and get the pedophile. Like, you have to be like, what's your name? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm like, who you coming?
Yeah. Say this name.
Yeah. But that's what we think that her power is, because also on the train, I feel like she didn't have to do nothing like that.
That's true, too.
She did something completely different on the train.
Right. Yeah. So we don't know what that is yet. So I'm combining all that together. I want to know what that is, too. It seems like she's also just whatever she is on that end. She's also a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And that one, she's like, oh, I can't get over there. I'm kind of too far right now. So I'm going to use this particular power from a distance.
Yeah.
Which is like, if that's planning, like if I'm on my Batman shit.
Yeah. If I got planning time.
Yo,
yeah.
I got my guy here. That's a pedophile. Not like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
This is my guy right here.
And I'm standing by him. It's my guy R. Kelly over here, man.
Yeah, you got him over here. Yeah. You're like, yo, just let you know, it's over for your ass. But anyways.
And let's put this in perspective, too. I just looked this up. Where they was, Kyoto is almost 6 hours away from Tokyo.
Woo! Yeah, that's not close.
So she got, I mean, how many miles is it? Let me see.
It's far.
Whatever, however many miles it is.
It's very far.
So she got distance. It's not like I got to be within a certain range to do this. Like, she getting active.
6 hours worth of miles.
Yeah. So now if you train like a hawk or train whatever, like a whatever it is, to be at a whatever or however it is, that's a crazy
282 miles. That's like from here to fucking Arizona, almost.
That's crazy as hell. Rob.
I mean, her powers definitely lived up to my expectations. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I know you were saying, like, oh, you got the spoilers on the train. I'm like, there's no way she's dead. She can't be. Like,
that's why we too bent out of shape. I was
mad.
Just like,
I wasn't mad.
Because I saw something similar. Like, I think I was on Twitter, and this has been happening to me more and more recently. Just like, I saw a spoiler that she was like alive, and I'm like, well, of course.
Yeah.
But that being said, it like definitely, I would say I agree with you, Keenan. Exceeded expectations. Just like, I didn't think she was gonna, like, when she killed those dudes on the train, I'm like, right. When she started crushing people from fucking Kyoto, I was like, what are you talking about?
Twisting that dude fucking up like a sponge. I was just like, all right.
That's crazy. And like, I was happy to watch it too, because I was like, watching those fight scenes, even just with Katana Man and Akane or whatever his assistant's name or his partner's name, I was just like, this might be what gets me into the show, because I fucking hate these two right now. I hate these two more than I like Denji. And mostly because, like, for me, and I've said this before, I'll probably get into this in my recap. The side characters in the show have been what have brought me along. Like, I've enjoyed the side characters.
Yeah, like Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yes, very much so.
And I did see, like, the snake lady. I didn't peep at first. She gives it up. She keep fucking her fingernails up.
She loses a fingernail.
Yeah, she lost a fingernail, I think, for the summoning or whatever. She definitely surprised me. I knew she was going to be a beast, but I didn't think it was going to be like that. That being said, when I want her powers, man, I don't know what she had to give up to get those powers. So I'm going to say I would probably take the Death Note. If only because you make a good point. Like, you're going to have a Shinigami with you all the time, and that sucks.
Mm.
But I don't know what she had to give up for that shit, but I bet it wasn't cheap.
Let me tell you something, man. She's offering that thing up to pretty much Denji. You know what? She probably even got one.
Oh, wow.
Potentially.
That'd be a punt. Yo.
Potentially.
I don't even know, man.
I won't be shocked that she's like, well, actually, I gave up all of that. Like,
I have no sexual hormones. Not hormones. Organs.
Exactly. No reproductive organs. None of that shit. This shit is gone.
Yeah, she could have, like, given up, like, pleasure and like
sensory stuff. Yep.
Emotion. That's why she stays so calm, like, all the time. She's just like, I don't even feel anything anymore.
Do you guys feel like the sacrificing adds another level to Chainsaw Man? Like, if they just had devils,
for sure,
like Pokemon, and there was no attachment,
I think this would make their powers more important to me than Jujutsu Kaisen, because it's like they can just use their powers. They got to get them stronger, of course, but it's like they have to be careful.
Yeah.
If I'm going to use this, I might, like you said, old girl losing fingernails, that's probably the start of it. She uses a bigger power. She might got to sacrifice her arm, too, whatever the case may be. So it's like, you know, old girl was losing her whole body, arms, legs, all that shit. So it's like, the stakes on this show are probably realer than the shows that we probably watch, like the Demon Slayers, because it's like, yo, anybody can die at this particular point, if you're, to be honest with you, whatever they're going to give up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
But yeah, no, I would take the Death Note, because basically, as long as you don't take the Shinigami eyes, like, you can still live a long life.
Yeah.
You can still live a long life.
Yeah. All right. So next question: if you were Aki, you know, he only they say he only has 2 years.
Speaking of the cost,
you only have 2 years left after learning all this stuff. Are you seeking revenge for your last 2 years of life? Rob.
Absolutely not. I'm thinking like, man, I didn't even know my brother all that well. Like,
oh, come on. Was he like,
we didn't even get to know each other.
Was he like teenager or something like that?
I don't know. That kid, hey, he didn't look that old.
This is some only child shit right here.
Yeah, you saying that as an only child.
He's the only child. Yeah. So he's like, I don't give a fuck about a brother, bro.
Fuck that.
This hypothetical brother. Like,
well, I mean, I say that to be funny. That being said, like, I would hope at some point, like, Aki would think, like, is this what my family would want? Like, for me to spend my life in basically torture so I can chase down literally the most dangerous thing on the planet that took them out? Or would they want me to, like, I made it, live a happy life for the rest of us that couldn't? Yeah. And, like, if I was, like, looking down the barrel of the just, like, two more years, like, I think at this point, you know, where the character's at, he's just like, I've come this far, there's no backing down.
See you through, my boy.
I think that's where he's at, and I get that. But me personally, I'm just like, I wasted too much time on this shit. I just lost the person I'm closest to, probably, and like,
in love with maybe also.
Maybe. Yeah. So no, I would say that is a steep, steep price. I would be handing in my resignation as well. I'm out.
Yeah, I got to see it through, my boy. Because at this point, I've already given up. Even if he was gonna go live to 45, I've already given that up. I'm gonna die. Early 20s, the next 2 years, like, then what is all of that for? Like, that's why I'm like, what, I've done all of this, given up all of this, for what? Now I'm just going to be chilling, and that's going to be in the back of, because I'm the type, and Keenan noticed as well, and probably you guys as well, like, when I'm not doing something, I'm kind of beating myself up. Like, if I relax too long, I'm like, hey, man, you ain't make no video, you ain't put no jokes, you ain't put no post up on Instagram, like, what are you doing?
Right.
So I think that would eat at me, knowing that I sacrificed my life, even if I'm in Disney World and I'm on the fucking Pirates of the Caribbean ride and I'm having a good time, I'm just like, at some point through that ride or there when I'm eating a fucking turkey leg, I'm gonna be like, yo, I got two more years left because of this, and I'm not even fighting for that. I'm not even fighting for this thing I've given up over half my lifespan for.
Yeah. One more thing. The only thing that I would add on to it is just like, I gave up all that down to 2 years, and I still got fucking packed up.
You got packed up. And I think that's the
key. He wasn't even close.
That's the biggest thing. And that's some like Rengoku shit to where it's like, bro, to get to 2 years and for homegirl to be like, don't bring that out right now, means you brought it out before against low-level devils.
Yeah.
It might have worked in those situations, but you brought it out a couple. To get to 2 years, you brought that shit out a couple times.
For sure.
And that also means to me, he has to get stronger on his other skill sets.
Yeah.
So that's like one of those things, like, when I bring this out, it's a wrap for all you motherfuckers.
Exactly. And that's what I initially read this, I'm like, oh, we won't see this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bringing it in that early episode 8, 9, whatever we're at, 10, whatever it is, like, that means you've been bringing this shit out all willy-nilly.
That's a good, that's your go-to. Oh, shit, I got socked out. Ah.
It's like, damn.
I mean, I look at it like this. It's like, you only have 2 years left. Fuck it. It is what it is at this point. I only got two years left. Why would I want to just be like, all right, let me just go do some regular shit now? My brain is already wired to do this. So, you know, and I look at my siblings. I look at my brother. I'm like, yo, my brother is like, that's my dog. So it's just like, you gots to go.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm just going harder. That's all it is now. It's like, now I only got 2 years left. I gotta fucking get it.
Yeah.
And that's how it's gonna be. And if you die in the process of that, I wouldn't even give a fuck. But it's just like, it's only 2 years now. Now, if you said, I got like 60 years to live, I might be like, you know what? I got a kid now. I got this.
Yeah.
Then I might dial it back. But 2 years, it's like, fuck
we
it.
We hear it. That goes quick. As we already seen, quarantine was 2 years ago.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's how quick that shit goes. What about on the opposite end for y'all? Like, if you saw your brother at Six Flags chilling you got 2 years left. He's like, man, fuck Kenan. I'm gonna live these last 2 years.
And I'm in the spirit realm looking down.
Just, why, would you be mad? He's like, or would you be like, go fight for me, man?
I mean, I think at first I would be, get that revenge for me. But then, you know, well, I guess it's weird because it's like, if he had his whole life ahead of him, if that was the version of it, I'd be like, man, just live your life now, bro. Like, we tried or whatever the case may be. You got like a son.
We tried.
You keep getting washed. You weak anyway, motherfucker. You weak. So just fuck it, man. But like, you know, 2 years, I mean, I might, if he's been going at it this long and I'm like, yo, he's not strong enough. He don't got it in him. I'm like, it is.
So if you got to come back and to go, like, to say one thing to him, what would you say?
You weak, dog. Just go live your life. I love you for being my brother. You tried. Yeah, exactly. You tried.
You gave it your honest best effort. Gave up everything. You came up short. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. But, you know, you got a couple years. Go enjoy it.
Yeah, you essentially Michael Jordan's sons. You ain't Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying?
But you know that also could be his motivation to go harder. Like, really? You saying that, he'd be like, no, fuck that.
There it is. That's how I look at it. There it is.
Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong.
All right, so even if the anime, everybody answered, right?
Yeah.
Even if the anime hasn't, I know, Brandon said the hype, or he's not really feeling the show like that much. I know Rob was kind of having his reserves about it also. But have the fights lived up to the hypes in your opinion? As of right now, man, even with these last fights with the, what's his name, the little, the sword guy. I forgot his name.
Katana Man.
Katana Man. Bro.
Who?
Katana Man. What'd I say?
You said Katana Man. After it registered in my brain, you just said it so fucking fast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Katana Man.
Yeah, Katana Man. Like, these fights have been super dope. They've been great to watch. They're great, like, animated-wise. I've enjoyed it. Like you said, I can understand that is definitely the best part of the show as of right now, for sure. Yeah. Rob.
Yeah, no, I agree that, my criticisms of the show aside, the animation, whether they're fighting or whether they're fucking pouring a cup of coffee has been 10 out of 10. Yeah. I can't slight them on that. Like, it's been great. It's been fun. Like, and the fights for the most part are really cool. And like, they get the blood pumping, no pun intended necessarily, but, no, the fights are the action is a lot of fun, and definitely during these like 2-3 episodes, like, and that's what I was even saying to Brennan. I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys or said it on the show, but like since the episode Gunfire, I think episode 8, like I've been like, oh, okay, I'm more into this show than I was previously. It's stuff that I had to take 8 episodes to get there, but especially with this shit going on the rooftop, and even Kobeni kind of like going to 10 when she got there, like the action's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I was really excited. I think this far exceeded, reading this before it was animated, this far exceeded my expectations from an animation standpoint. I think from the fights, we have so much more to go, and I think reading what I've read and just knowing what's coming and how that's going to be animated, and I think that's always the biggest part of reading manga, just like we know as Demon Slayer manga readers, like we know, and people going crazy over the Entertainment District arc for a good reason. Yeah. But like us three and people like us are just like, y'all have no fucking clue. Nah. And when that shit gets animated, I think that's one of the first things that Kenan said when he finished reading Demon Slayer. He's like, yo, when this shit, and this was before the Entertainment, this was before Mugen Train, Kenan said this. He was like, when this shit gets animated, it's gonna go down as one of the greatest animes ever. And I was like, all right, bro, let me see what you're talking about. That, which is that reason, because I wasn't even too hot on Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
Then I started reading and I'm like, okay, this is facts. So I say all that to say, I think it is. I mean, I like the show, so but if I was on the fence, the fights have definitely done it for me. And I can't wait to see the rest of these fights animated.
For sure. Let me get to the last question, then we're going to wrap it up. We've seen Devil Hunters, Demon Hunters, Curse Hunters, Soul Reapers. Is Devil Hunting the most dangerous occupation we've seen out of all of them, Rob?
Man, I think it might be. You got nowhere that's safe. Like, you got people even in your own, like, organization that it seems shady and they're coming for you. Like, I think, honestly, when I was thinking about this question, like, I think it gets... Like, Demon Slayer is a tough occupation, but at least, like, you got your squad, they all seem to be, like, friends or whatever. They go back to the home base, and it's just, like, for the most part, they're relatively safe. Mm. If you know. But, like, it doesn't seem like these people have anybody they can fucking trust. And I would say maybe the only other people that are kind of close to that might be the Soul Reapers, because, like, as we talked about and we'll probably talk about a little bit later, like, for them to even get their job as captains or whatever, you got to kill the captain that was there before you.
Yeah, or so, they like, die.
Yeah, so you might have somebody within your own side that's coming to try to kill you. Like, maybe. I don't know. But that might happen every, like, couple hundred years. You might have to defend your job or whatever like that.
But that hardly ever happens.
Yeah, these people are, like, did you see the size of that graveyard they keep going to? Like, they are losing people.
Goddamn Saving Private Ryan graveyard.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a tough, tough gig.
Ice.
I think I think by a mile. I think just because it's also dangerous because Soul Reapers, psychics, all this, they don't have to give up much.
Right.
The what you have to give up on your side before you can even get into the fight is what makes it dangerous.
Yeah.
That's before you even get in the battle. You got to lose a nut, an eye, a leg, or something. That's the prerequisite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to even be there.
Just to even, that's the price of admission already makes it the most dangerous by far. And then you go and these devils seem like they be out, these devils be outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They be outside. So yeah, by far.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have really much to add. I agree 100%. They gotta, it's too much to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, I would hate to live in that world. To just have to give up so much to have to walk outside.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy to me.
Yeah, that bat devil just landed in the street in broad daylight.
Yeah.
And then the leech devil was just like, oh, I'm here right after that.
Yeah, you're just like, what, bro? I'm walking the kid to school.
Right.
Yeah. What are we doing?
I'm at work. I'm at work right now.
I'm fucking delivering. I'm doing Postmates, bitch.
Right.
What are you doing, man?
Throwing me in a car? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's rough.
Let's get into our likes, dislikes, and our scores for this week. Just so you know, I think before we started rolling, Brennan came through, his hoe ass, bitch ass came through and gave his bitch ass score.
It's a bitch ass score.
What did he say? Was it 6,500?
60. He went from a 63 to a 6,500.
I thought he said 68.
He might have. 68? Sure. Yeah.
Just give it a 60, I guess. But I know he's saying he's whatever. He kind of bored with the show a little bit. He's not really fucking with Denji.
He said, and I quote, I know I'm supposed to feel an emotion right here, and this emotion is bored.
Yes, he said that. He did say that. So he's
he did, but he was saying that about Aki when he was in the hospital.
Yeah, when he's sitting there crying.
When he's sitting there crying after having 2 years left for life, that's crazy. But anyways, because I've also heard him say stuff like that when it's like other artists or other whatever, and he's been like, I felt so bad. Like, you understand he's going to die in like 25 years, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, whatever. So that was Brennan's score for this one. Rob, what are your scores for
I mean, week? There's a lot that I agree with Brennan on. Like, I don't really care about Denji. He doesn't really do much for me as a main character, to be honest. Like, it's cool that he likes to fight, but, like, I don't really root for him much because, like, I get people are, like, and some people in the chat have said this, like, oh, he hasn't had much, like, in his life, so he's just happy for bare minimum. But it's tough for me to latch on to a character that doesn't really have any strong wants or things that I'm like, okay, I can get on board with that, or I understand why he feels that way. Which is why I think, for me, what has kept me interested in the show is the side characters, like Himeno, even her sacrifice of what she did is like, damn, like, if you told me, I would have been feeling kind of bad for this girl that just threw open this teenager's mouth like 2 episodes ago. Like, I don't know if I would have believed that. But even Aki and like what he's going through, like, I like these side characters, and they keep me going as well as like the crazy animation. It's just like, that's really cool. So, you know, I enjoy it. These last three episodes between in where we ended last time and then like these 2 episodes, like, I'm very much more on board with the show. I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm a little bit more surprised, and I do really like this new captain character that is absolutely kicking the shit out of Denji. Power and Denji right now. And I thought that was really funny too. Like, it does have its moments of comedy that are pretty good, and one of them being like, we're gonna outsmart this guy, and like the next day they showed they got the fucking glasses on. Yeah. Like, that's gonna make him smarter. But like, yeah, it's a cool show. I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm gonna give it, I think I was at a 7,200 last time. I'll give it a 7,500.
Okay. Yeah, I think the show. I have no issue with the show as much as like Brennan and Rob do. I see the character development of Denji so far. I see like he's been developing. I feel like every few episodes, even this episode where he was just like, "Yo, these people died," and I was like, "I didn't feel anything." And I'm like, "Fuck, am I like, is that right of me?"
Yeah,
I would have appreciated that more if he didn't end that with "fuck it, who cares," and then walked off to go get a fucking snack. Yeah. Like. I hear you, and
that's
I don't
disagree with his character, though,
and that's exactly why I didn't like it.
Yeah, but I think that's a part of like, you know, him being like, damn, like, I don't, and it's like, it's because now I'm this thing, now I'm this devil, or whatever the case may be, and that's kind of fucked up. And maybe he will start to develop feelings along the lines later on. But like you said, the action is good. I'm not really a fan of Power. If anything, like, you guys are saying Denji, I really don't fuck with
that's
Power.
That's fair. No,
Power
she,
annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah, she was
and
useless.
I love just seeing her get beat up. It's great.
Damn, that's a damn. It's just pray, just pray nobody ever pieces that up for you.
I know, yeah. Please, you know, they're gonna break this up. I just pray that is a rap for you guys. Power from the anime because she's an asshole herself.
Right.
And she's a selfish asshole at that. But I do like when she gets active. She's super dope when she gets active. I do think I'm going to probably eventually start to like her too when they start to, hopefully she starts to get some character development herself. And then we can get into like them getting better just as all characters. But yeah, I'm with you. It's like, I don't mind watching a show that has better side characters than main characters. I mean,
sure.
Cyberpunk was kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, we wasn't fucking with the main character like that. We started fucking with everybody
else. What's
his name?
I could not tell you. Gun to my head right now.
Well, I think with an A.
Jim. James.
I forgot his name.
It's a D.
David.
Yeah. David.
Sorry, yeah.
David Martin.
But yeah. But it's just like, yeah, I don't mind that. Because, like, if you got strong side characters and still, like, the main character gets active, and it's like the same thing. Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm not a fan of Itadori like that. I'm like,
I like Yuji.
He's cool.
Yeah.
He's like, he's cool, but he ain't my favorite character on there.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Same thing with Demon Slayer.
Yeah. So, and same, yeah, I can understand with Tanjiro. I was like, fuck all that. But it's like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
You're a Inosuke guy, right?
Yeah, I like Inosuke. I like Zenitsu more now for sure. And then I know when that's all I like him more after shit starts to pop off too.
Yeah.
But watching these episodes, I enjoyed it. I feel like these episodes went by kind of fast for me, so that means I definitely enjoyed it, and I will give these episodes a 7,600
okay.
for this week. Nice.
The same sentiments as them. I have those. I think the only thing I'm going to say, I'm going to just use this time to talk about this a little briefly, and I'm going to talk about it more on my YouTube, but I just did. You got some of you guys out here, either you or your best friend or some of your friends are out here paying women monthly to show their asshole. So I say that to say, when you say this, I don't understand why people are so up in arms mm-hmm. about Denji being motivated by a woman.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
Why is this such a huge, like, why is
a
this
lot,
such...
A lot of men are motivated by women. Most men are probably motivated. Damn near every man is motivated by a woman or women in some type of
100%. That's why I use the OnlyFans reference, is because
right.
y'all paying $8.99, $15.99, $20.99 to see somebody's asshole that you don't know. This man is risking his life for somebody that took him out of poverty, gave him a job, put food on the table for him. Like, and he's 16.
Yeah, but not because he's grateful.
Because he's 16. He's six. Like, think of you at 16. I know we made this, so I think for everybody, and not just Rob and Brennan and everybody else, but even just being online and people mm-hmm. really dogging out Denji, is like, come on. Come on here, guys.
I definitely seen mixed reviews with Denji. Like, yeah. Some people either love him for this, yep. or they hate him for it.
Yeah, so, and I don't understand the Denji hate. Let my man live, man. And he's growing. He's having some type of self-reflection, so let him have that. So I say all that to say, that doesn't hurt the show for me. That doesn't hurt the show for me. I enjoy the show. I like Denji. I actually like him over Itadori, and I like him over fucking Tanjiro, to be honest with you. So I'm not saying he's better. I'm saying I like him more than both of those guys.
Gotcha.
I think it'll go Denji, Itadori, Tanjiro.
You're welcome to your very wrong opinion. It's fine. It
I'm just
matter.
Like,
it's
I'm
fine.
Okay. And granted, and I will tell you, both Itadori's and Tanjiro's motives are better. Mm-hmm. You kill my fam. Like, you got to get up out of here. I get it. But Denji all day. Don't. That's the main character right there. Wow. I enjoyed it. These span of episodes. Can't wait for the next couple episodes to get animated. Can't wait for however far they go to get animated. I'm going to give these stretch episodes a 7,300.
7,300. All right, let's jump in to the next.
My scores are still too high. I'm giving this too high.
You feel like you're giving it too high?
I think I am. Just because, like, based off of, like, what did I give it? A 7,500? And I think I didn't like it as much as you guys did.
I don't think it's too high. I just think, like, for us, like, I know this show can go to another level. And I think keeping it, for me, in the 7,000s or whatever the case may be, I think this show is going to start to hit the 8,000s consistently probably next season. And I'm going to need room for that. So that's why I'm not giving it, even though I'm saying how much I do like it, I'm not giving it an 8,100. Because at the end of the day, too, My Hero and Bleach, it ain't doing that for me right now. And I'm giving those in the 8,000s.
Yeah,
so
no, like, for sure.
I'm just going off that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's actually jump into that. Bleach, episodes 9 through 10, Rob's recap. Let's go.
Spectacular.
Yes, that's right. The recap that I'm going to read right now as soon as I scroll the top of my document. Here we go. We start out on Shunsui opening up a letter that names him as the new head captain and Yamamoto's replacement, which we called. As he absorbs that, we head to the Soul Castle where Ichigo is healing in Tenjiro's hot springs, not to be confused with Tanjiro. Ichigo shouts at him and his assistants for their rough methods, which earns him a punch to the face. But before Ichigo can get too mad about it, Tenjiro points out that his wounds have been healed and he's ready to move on. Renji is also fully healed, and after surviving a Tenjiro gut punch, he's allowed to move on to the next castle as well, while Rukia and Byakuya continue to heal. After they leave, Tenjiro admits he is very impressed with both of them, especially with Ichigo after he punched him in the face and Ichigo reflexively blocked it and, like, fractured his hand. He's just like, that kid, special. Standing in front of the Soul Society Council, Shunsui has some ideas on how to prep for the next Quincy attack, and the council does not like his intention to have Unohana train Zaraki. They worry that he will get stronger, they won't be able to control him if he goes rogue, but Shunsui says, hey, we need all the help we can get right now, and despite her healing position now, Unohana was Kenpachi before Zaraki and is the only one who can manage him. Meanwhile, Ichigo and Renji and Kone land in the next Squad Zero castle, which belongs to Kirio. She feeds them a huge meal, which Ichigo feels guilty about eating and, you know, resting while others are scrambling to prep for the fight. But Renji and Kirio explain, hey, this is a different kind of training. In fact, she emerges from the kitchen. Kirio has lost all of her excess weight, reveals that when she cooks, she literally cooks soul food. She, like, her soul energy goes into the food, giving it all sorts of special properties. Before sending them on to the next castle, she explains that all of the members of Squad Zero have invented something incredibly, fundamentally important to the Soul Society. She invented soul candies that brought Kone to life, and the owner of the next castle invented the Zanpakutos. Back in the Soul Society, Unohana takes Zaraki to an underground facility where they can train at full strength. We find out in a flashback that Unohana used to be a cold-blooded killer when she was Kenpachi, and she easily slips back to her old ways, carving up Zaraki without even he doesn't even have his eye patch on, and she is just giving him all he can handle, delivering a killing blow. As Zaraki laments that he'll die without having ever defeated Unohana, he snaps back, fully healed, with the fight still raging, and he gleefully clashes swords with Unohana again. As this happens over and over again, with Zaraki getting killed and then snapping back to life, we see another flashback when Unohana and Zaraki first met when he was a child. He was already a capable fighter, having stacked up a mountain of bodies. Unohana admits that during this fight, she ruined Zaraki. They were both bloodthirsty killers that lived the thrill of battle. But when she started to lose to him that day, Zaraki started unconsciously limiting himself so that he wouldn't, you know, lose the only person that could challenge him and do a fight, and she eventually beat him. And then he just started limiting himself so that he would still be able to enjoy fighting while still having that risk of potentially dying. She explains that, you know, you need to reclaim that potential, and your only way to do that is to beat me so you can help save the Soul Society. And at that point, she unleashes her blood-soaked Bankai. Unohana sends a wave after wave of razor-sharp blood at Zaraki, and then healing him after he falls. Finally, Zaraki manages a fatal blow against her, and he begs her not to die, but she tells him, hey, there's plenty of strong enemies up ahead, and passes, feeling her duty fulfilled, and the title of Kenpachi officially passing on to him. Zaraki mourns her, but he is not alone, as he finally hears his Zanpakuto calling out to him. Back in the Soul Palace, Uetsu welcomes Renji and Ichigo with a flashy show and lots of pretty ladies. It's a lot for the two newcomers, but luckily for them, after Uetsu embarrasses them in front of the girls, his assistant Mira arrives and tells them, hey, we got to get serious. So together, they lead Ichigo and Renji to a shack, push them into a deep pit, and inside is a crowd of faceless bodies, which Uetsu explains are unnamed and undeveloped Zanpakutos. And in fact, everyone that they've met so far, except maybe Mira, but I'm not even sure about that, are all Zanpakutos given human form. They are angry at the two Soul Reapers for breaking theirs. The faceless crowd then attacks them, and the two Shinigami fight them off for 3 days. At the end of it, Renji is still standing, but Ichigo lays on the ground overwhelmed. Uetsu then shocks both of them by saying that not only Ichigo has failed, but he can no longer be considered a Soul Reaper without his Zanpakuto, and banishes him back to Earth to either find a way back or to stay out of the Soul Society forever. And that's where we left off on episode 10 of Bleach.
Yeah, Rob sped through both of those, man. Shit.
I was just sticking to the bare essentials.
Rob, recap.
Thank you for the recap as always, Rob. Let's get into the Bleach episodes 9 through 10 after all this. So, first question, when was the time when you got destroyed in something? Because, you know, they've been getting destroyed so bad. I mean, what's his name? The Kenpachi dude?
Oh, Zaraki.
Zaraki, yeah. He was just getting annihilated yeah. in these fights, but then we realized why he was getting annihilated.
Yeah.
When is something that or when is the time in general when you got beat so bad you had to go back and train and get harder? So even with, you know, even with Ichigo and them, they got their ass whooped, they're training right now to get back to fight somebody. When is something that happened to you like that? It always goes back to sports or comedy with me. My brother used to destroy me. My brother used to destroy me one-on-one. For a good few years, I couldn't beat my brother one-on-one in basketball. And one day I just went outside and was like, I'm going to get a jumper. And I trained for probably a week or two straight. And I was like, yo, come outside. He was like, what? I said, just come outside, bro. Like, I gotta serve you right now. I gotta give you
buckets.
And he's like, bro, I got homework to do, man. I gotta try to fucking kill your ass right now. I was just like, come the fuck outside. And we came outside and I beat him one-on-one for the first time.
Nice.
In my life. But this motherfucker.
How many games you play?
I beat him that first game.
Okay, nice.
He beat me after that. But all I cared about was that one game. He's like, you know, you got to run it back at least once. If you beat somebody, you're supposed to be able to run it back. And he ran it back and he beat me. And he was satisfied with that. But he's like, you're getting better. He's like, you're getting better. We had a tree on the side of our right side of our rim. So like, I'm right-handed. He's left-handed. Mm. So he had the advantage of always going left. So I started to learn how to use it. I started to jump off the tree, everything like that. I used everything I could to get buckets, and yeah, that was just like my little fun one. Ice.
Yeah, I think with me it'd be track. I think it was something else I was gonna say, but I'll just leave it to sports. But
we can go with the yeah.
Got to train in that too, man. But yeah, I think with sports, with track, I was jumper. I came out being a jumper. I didn't do the sprints that much, and you know, they would always not necessarily make fun of me, but the sprinters would make fun of me because like, y'all not doing nothing. Y'all just sitting there jumping around like y'all ain't got speed or whatever. But you need speed, especially long jumpers. You need speed in order to be a good long jumper. You know, I was just like, I can run with y'all. Like, if I do sprint practice with y'all, I can be fast as y'all. Like, it's easy work. And then I did sprint practice with those guys, and I got fucking smoked. And they were just like, yeah, take your jumping ass back over there and jump. Like, but I was determined. I'm like, nah, fuck that. Like, I'm going to be faster than you guys. I'm going to be, like, and we're going to do that. So I think a lot of the guys that we play football with, we ran track with them, too. So, like, that whole summer I trained, like, sprinting. I did jumps, too. But I trained sprinting, and then we had a combine like 2 weeks before school started, and I had the fastest 40 time out of everybody. I had the fastest 40 time in the combine, and everybody was like, "What the fuck?" I was just like, "I've been sprinting this entire for the past 4 or 5 months. Like, you guys, I got embarrassed, and I was talking shit, and I went back in the lab and started working on sprinting, and I'm faster than y'all." So I think, and then we ran hundreds, and then I was faster than damn near everybody except my boy Vino, but everybody else I ended up being faster than them. So I think, yeah, that's my story.
Rob?
I was going to tell one story, and then I thought of another one just now. I think I may have even talked about this like a long, long time ago, but you guys know Tony V that works here. He and I used to be roommates in college, and you know, we were partying in college, like, and my game back in the day was beer pong. I used to love that game. Even now, I'm just like, that's a fun game. Like, I would just play it to play it. I remember there was one particular night we were having a party, and, like, Tony, I forget who his partner was, but they were just cleaning up the table. They were running everybody off. And I remember I was like, me and my buddy John were like, all right, we're going to take them on. We lost, and Tony was talking so much shit.
He doesn't talk shit, does he, like that?
He does sometimes.
Yeah.
And this was definitely one of those times. He's just like, you know, we own this table. He literally had built the table. So he was like, he was talking a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it was late into the night. We were having fun. And I was just like, Tony, I can beat you one-on-one right now. And it became a whole thing. Like, people were just like, the party stopped. Like, we changed the lighting and stuff. Like, we had blue on one side, red on one side. And it was just like, all right, me and Tony went at it. And I beat his ass. I felt so good about that in the moment. I mean, that's not necessarily like a go away a long time and have to train for, but that was like a vindication. Oh, I was definitely talking shit.
Yeah.
I was definitely talking shit.
You dog walked him or you just beat him?
It was close, but I beat him. Yeah, I did beat him. I can't, because the guy's good. Like, I gotta give him, but he didn't win. He did not win. The one I was going to talk about earlier was, and you guys can probably relate to this too, but when I first met Brennan, he's like, "You guys play Smash Brothers?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Eh, a little bit."
Yeah, yep.
And he just like, that was another party situation. He just destroyed everybody, and I was like, "All right." And I had to get into the lab, especially when I started working with Brennan, because we play that, like, you know, we'll have our meetings, we'll do our stuff, but when we want to blow off steam, we'll play a couple of rounds of Smash Brothers, and like, I had to get better. I had to train. I had to go home and practice because, as Cam can attest, like, you don't want to be just like a level hazard out there.
No,
that's essentially me when I play with y'all. I'm just out there. Just
I was there. But honestly, I think through losing, I eventually won a few games in Smash Brothers. Now that you bring that up, Rob, I had enough losses very early on.
Oh yeah,
and sometimes it's just good enough to just get Brennan out.
Like, yeah, sometimes.
Even if you don't win, it's like, well, you're out of here, bitch, and I'm still here. That's all that matters.
This... Absolutely. Yeah, but finally getting that first win in a group match in Smash Bros. With this group, it was like, oh, yeah, that was some vindication. It's just like, I came back.
I think I took a picture of my first win.
I bet, yeah.
I bet.
Feels good.
I'm
feels
sure.
Good.
I can attest, I'm not a Smash Bros. Person, but I watched them play, and I played with them. You had to be on your fucking game to get one in on, to beat all three of them, four, well, him, Brennan, Tony V. Yeah. Cam, it's rough. All right, next question. Last time Denji fought for 3 days straight. This time it was Ichigo and Renji. What was the longest ever you had to stay awake, Rob?
Man, talking about those college days. There was a while. There was a while my dad was he took a side job delivering newspapers, and like for the Sunday paper, like I'd help him out because it was like, this is huge. Like, mm-hmm. it was a lot of deliveries. Mm-hmm. It's a much bigger paper. Like, you got inserts that you wouldn't even necessarily get until it was time to deliver. So like, I'd be in the van like stuffing those bags or whatever, just like, you know, literally in the early hours of the morning. But there was one time. I was, you know, just having a regular day. We were up. We had a party at Tony and I, and like, I didn't sleep. I just rolled right into it. I rolled right into the newspaper delivery. Helped my dad out. You know, sobered up. Got over there. Did what I had to do. And I think I was up for like maybe 28-30 hours by the end of it. By the time we got home, and I was like, I if you guys have ever been up that long, like, I started to get loopy. I was like, I'm not even tired. Like, I could keep going.
Yeah.
And my dad was just like, lay down for a second. Just like sleep a little bit. I put my head down on the pillow at like 9 a.m. I closed my eyes. And I woke back up. It was 5. It was 5 p.m. Like, it
you did
was
a
just
shift.
Like, oh shit. Yeah, right. And it was just like, and that's what I was saying. Like, I'm not even tired. Like, I don't even just sleep. Give me 15 minutes. I'll be up for breakfast. Mm. I was out.
Yeah.
Gone.
Body wasn't having it.
No.
Yeah.
It was done.
Yeah, I think for me that I had something similar. I was at a party. I was up the day before because I had just some work that I was doing, and then I was at a party and I looked at my schedule wrong. I thought I worked at 7, like later in the day, and I looked at my schedule. I'm like, let me check my schedule just in case. And mind you, this is like 5 in the morning. Yeah. I'm at this party and it's winding down. I'm like, let me check my schedule, and I had to be at work at 6.
Ugh.
And I'm like, and I had to open up the store.
Oh,
so I'm
God.
Like, fuck. And I was like, put it in my maps. I can make it there, but I had to go straight there from the party. And I was there, and then with it being my store, like, I had to be there. We had 2 people call out, and I was like, well, I'm the only salary person on the schedule, so I had to stay till we fucking closed at 9 o'clock.
Woof.
And then I had to, like, and I think, so if you were totaling it up, I was pushing well over 30 hours at that point. Mm-hmm. It was a long time. So yeah, somewhere around 30 to 35, probably even longer than that if I really sit down and think about it. But yeah, I was fucking smoked. I couldn't even drive home. Like, I started driving and I was like, oh fuck no. And I went in like a Walmart parking lot and just like went to sleep for a couple hours just to get my bearings.
I believe it,
man. I think there's a few times I stayed up a few days. I think I told one last time, but I know it was in college. It's college. What does college do to you, man?
I don't know, man.
you feel like you're a superhero. But the other time in college I stayed up, we were just like up. We had to do schoolwork. Then we wanted to go play sports. Then we had to go drive and do some shit. And we were just up. And I didn't even realize I was even up for like a day and a half at the time. And I was just like, damn, man. I was like, well, let me see if I can just keep going. I was like, I'll just see. Now it's like trying to break a record. Like, all right, let's see how far I can go. I got to day 2. When I got to the second day, like, you know, like you said, for like a day and a half or something like that, my body went like, oh, you can keep going.
Right.
Like, I got a second win. I was like, oh, I can do this. I saw people could stay up for days straight. Day 2 came, I think I was hyper, like I was hallucinating.
You stay awake too long, you'll start hallucinating.
I was like, if this is how it is to be on shrooms, whatever the fuck it is, whatever hallucinogens, that shit was scary.
Yeah.
Like I was seeing, like I was like in the middle of dreaming, but I was like, no, I'm walking alive still, but I'm dreaming as I'm walking.
That's wild.
No fucking way. Now, I don't recommend it. I mean, I got home from Arizona this past weekend, and sorry I lied to you, Martin. I just want to go to Arizona. And I got home from Arizona. Arizona's like, what, an hour flight? 45-minute flight?
If that, 45 minutes.
45-minute flight? Bro, yeah. I got in, and I was jet lagged.
Wow. That's hilarious. That 1 hour make a difference, though.
Yeah. It do, because it's an hour. Also, it's an hour in front.
Yeah,
it's
hour ahead.
Hour ahead. Yeah, so after that, like, I got home. I was like, Janelle wanted to go somewhere. I was like, oh, she can go ahead and go, I think, to, like, brunch with her friends. I was like, I'm just lay down for a second. And I slept for, like, 5 hours.
Wow.
And I was just like, it was, like, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
The longest somebody ever stayed up was 11 days and 25 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And they survived?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not, like,
17-year-old Randy Gardner in 1963.
He must have lost his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, imagine.
That was an experiment.
They've done experiments.
The experiment.
Some, like, MK Ultra shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, imagine, like, that's the longest we've all stayed up, it sounds like, around the same amount of time. You got to double that. And then the whole time you're fighting for your fucking life.
Right. Yeah.
That's what these two have been. That's what these guys were doing. That's crazy. It's like insane.
I guess we just out here partying, having good shit happen.
That might keep you. If you know you might be on the verge of like dying or getting killed or like
keep you.
Then we like, oh fuck, I'll stay up as long as I got to stay up to train or whatever if I have to. You know, it's like when you study in for a test, you be like, I'll stay up longer than normal. You know what I'm saying? I guess in that sense.
Yeah, that guy kept Ichigo up for 3 days and then was just like, get back to fucking work. And sent him to the human realm or whatever. Man.
All right, next question. Who was your last black or PLC teacher, and what do you remember about them? Ice.
Mr. Williams is an African-American studies teacher, and what I remember about him is, like, if you were late, he would just stop class and just stare at you till you walk to your seat.
Damn.
And it was just like he'd just be presenting and talking, and then you'd come in late, which I did often, and he would just stop. And then whatever he was doing, no matter how intense it was, and then once you got your seat, then he'll go back to talking. And it got to the point where, like, the whole class would do it. Like, you know, like, everybody would stop and then look at you till you got to your seat. So
that's funny.
It was just cool. He was a dope-ass teacher, you know. And I think what he brought to African-American studies was super cool because he brought his insight and stuff that he was from, like, he was in the 60s and stuff like that. So he was an older guy just talking about, like, no, this happened and I was there. And some of the stuff that, like, the book said and what really happened were two completely different things. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to get, like, no, this will really happen. Martin really was doing this instead of this and this. Like, that insight was really cool.
Yeah.
Rob.
I don't remember exactly which was the last. I definitely had a bunch in college. One of the ones, probably the professor I had that stood out the most was, and I don't know if you ever had a class with him, Cam, was Dr. Rick Wright. I know he did.
Yeah.
I think it was like a media history type of class that I had with him. I just remember his personality was so big. Like, I will say he was a very friendly guy. His personality was huge. I remember he always would do this thing where he's just like, you hear that? That's opportunity. Knocking. He always did that for, like, whenever, like, something big was where he was about to get to something big.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think he remembered any one of us. Like, I think he walked into the classroom every day, was just like, all right, who are these people?
Right.
I think I would pass him in the hallway and I'd be like, oh, hey, professor. He was like, okay, hey, like, I don't know who you are, but you seem nice. But he was a cool guy. I know he definitely was well known around the campus, and he I don't know if he still works there because he was definitely older. But I remember I was listening to some of the podcasts I listened to. I know he got a shout out from some of the old Syracuse players that they used to go there. Like, Dr. Rick Wright used to help us out a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was great.
That's dope.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I talked about a few of the black teachers that I had on here. One that made me not do comedy until later on in life.
Damn.
I spoke about her. I spoke about that, right?
I don't know if you did. That, yeah.
You don't remember that?
I talked about
her then, because I've had a bunch, but she was my 10th grade teacher, and she was the reason why I didn't start to do comedy. Because in the 10th grade, I was a class clown, and I was just, I'll be in there. She used to always move my seat, kick me out of class and stuff like that. And then, she...
What did she teach?
She teached at Birmingham High School.
No, what did she do?
She was an English teacher.
Oh. Mm.
He's an English teacher. And so one time she had pulled me and my boy Ricky out of class, and she was just like, yo, let me talk to you guys for a second, because you guys are always interrupting my class. She's like, I love you guys. You guys are my favorite students. You guys make me laugh. I love being around you guys. But she's like, do you know I went to to UCLA when I was 17 years old, huh? And I was just like, oh. I mean, you got a late birthday, but all right. I don't know if you're special because of that, but all right.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah. It was just, oh what? My god. It was like, yeah. I was like, we was like, you got a late birthday. Really I was right. Like, what are you born? Like, I'm a November baby, so I was in college at 17 also. So what the fuck does that mean?
Oh my god, about? This is why she destroyed you.
Yeah, like, right there. That's what. Yeah.
No, but she pulled and she said she's like, I love you guys. I literally she has called her mom before and like had her mom talk to us when we were in class, everything like that. And she's just like, yo, you don't have to be, black people don't always have to be Eddie Murphy. We don't have to be comedians and entertainers. We can do other things. We can go to UCLA. We can do these things and stuff like that. And I remember just saying, and I think she's like, what do you want to be like when you grow up? And I was just like, I want to be a businessman. And then, you know, my boy was just like, that's not a fucking occupation. Like,
even he turned on you.
Yeah, he's like, he's like, you mean an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
And I was just like,
come on, Ricky.
Yeah. I didn't know the word at the time. Well, clearly, I needed English. But yeah. I needed some more help. And so I was just like, yeah, I want to be that. I want to have my own business one day.
Yeah.
And she was just like, see, strive for something like that and stuff like that. And literally, for years upon years, you know, I saw comedy. I looked at comedy. My boy Blake started comedy probably like a year before I did. And I remember just being there just like, I can't do this. Like I can't do this because she said this is what you wanted. We don't have to be this, and that stalled me being a comedian at least a few months for damn sure.
At least it was months and not years.
Well, I mean, when I was younger, I thought about it too, but I just didn't know how to get into it at that time. I didn't know how to get into stand up comedy.
Yeah, would you go back to school? Huh? Like 18-year-old, I guess 17-year-old Kenan. Are you going to school if you knowing now, or you would would have you just hopped into comedy at 17?
No, I still went to college because I still wanted the college experience for sure. Mm-hmm. But I would have been doing comedy earlier at that time because I was doing comedy in college, but it was like years down the line though.
Okay.
So if I was 17 with my late birthday, I would have been. I would have just went to finding some open mics here and there, seeing how I can get into it and do it that way.
Comedy in Alabama got to be crazy.
Well, I started out, I went to college out here first. I went to a junior college out here first. Then Alabama probably would have fucked up everything. I probably would have just drove to Atlanta. It's 2 hours away.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
So, forgot who didn't answer the question. You didn't answer it.
That was my question.
No, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
You was the last one.
Okay, my bad. next question. I didn't ask a police question, did I? Did I? I did. Oh, yeah, I did. I'm tripping. I'm out of it, man. All right, let's ask this last question because we've been going for a little bit. Three things that you would put in your personal soul castle, Rob.
That's the thing. Like, you get the Squad Zero, they get their own, pads made out exactly to their specifications, whatever they want. You got to hang here all the time, hanging out with the Soul King. He's probably asleep most of the time, so you got to have your creature comforts. So, for me, I'm definitely, I got to have my SU room. I got to have my room for the big games. This room is for the big game. Yeah. It's got my paraphernalia. It's got the sign stuff. You know, it's got my piece of the court or whatever.
Are you only watching those games? Or are you watching any games, any sports games?
I would watch any sports game in there, but okay. I mean, honestly, I mean, you guys saw me. What was it last week? I had the Syracuse soccer team was playing in the national championship, and I'm like, I'm watching this.
Yeah,
I'm turning it on. I want to see what happens. We won, by the way. It was pretty great. National champs. Anyway, so I definitely got to have the SU room. I got to have my gaming room, but that encapsulates all gaming. So that's like that's video games. Separate TV from the SU room. That's video games. That's you know, my board games. That's card games. That's like, I'm gonna have a special area that's just for like, this is for tabletop like RPG stuff, for like, you know, Call of Cthulhu, D&D, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kitting that place out with like all the stuff you could possibly need. The last, I would have a library, but not just like books, also for music. Because like, if there was a while I was definitely buying a lot of vinyl, and I stopped because I fucking ran out of room, because that shit can take up a lot of room.
I started getting into vinyl recently.
It's a lot of fun.
It is.
It's like you get up, you get to interact with the thing, you can get the different pressings on different colors and stuff. You collect it, going out and just finding those albums
and they're worth some. Some of them worth some real money.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And then crate diving. That's one of the things too. Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of singles that come out now that, you know, I'll get the single, but I love like just putting on an album and just listening to it from front to back, and you get to do that with vinyl. It's a lot of fun, especially if it's a good record. Then there's some you're just like, well, that's got like one good song. I'm not buying that one.
Right.
But also just like for my books, you know, have both just like books, but also like comic books, like my volumes of like Saga and you know, Fable, and you know, if I wanted to get like Invincible, any of that stuff, or even just like if I wanted to get manga, like get all the DBZ stuff, mm-hmm. get all, you know, Demon Slayer, all that, and just like that would be the study and hangout room, mm-hmm. To just like do your reading, listen to music, and just chill. Yeah, those are my three must have needs in the Soul Castle.
Okay. I think for me, I would go first. Damn, I'm gonna be fat as fuck after this. I gotta have my food room with a nice chef, like the chef that can literally make anything, the best of anything.
You gotta have this girl from Kirio, I think her name was. Yeah, you gotta have Kirio from Squad Zero.
She is in there and she's making me the best damn food whenever I want it, however I want it. I need something healthy this time. You know, I'm getting too fat. I need to kind of trim up a little bit. Do that stuff like that. Do that. Oh, so a nice kind of like a dope ass kitchen that can always have some good food. This is actually kind of harder than I thought. Oh shit. I would some type of exercise like room in a sense of like weights, basketball, soccer, even throwing the football around. A big ass room to where I can play the sports that I like to play. Sure. Even, probably even have some friends over, the other people in the squad. But I say, hey, Rob, you want to go throw the football over here?
Yeah, guys.
Come on, man. Let's play some soccer, whatever. I don't know.
That would never be a
sentence. I'm playing fucking soccer. I won't play soccer with you for, man. It's a play like playing soccer for.
What the fuck? That would be a sentence.
Let's track against each other. I wouldn't want to track against you either, motherfucker. But like hooping and stuff like that, of course.
Yeah.
That'll be my second room. And then third would be just my overall entertainment room. And entertainment will be, you know, just that. It'll be anything from, you know, the video games, to movies. I limited it to video games, movies and TV in that sense. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I can just go there. That's where I get to unwind, relax. After I just ate a nice meal, maybe played a little bit of basketball.
Yeah.
Now I can go wind down, watch a little movie in my little theater, whatever the case may be. And that'll be my three.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, my three would be I have an electronics room, so I can, you know, have all my electronics and I can watch games, all that stuff. I think second would be some type of fitness room where I can shoot hoops, play run track and stuff to stay in shape and that. And then mine is really similar to Kenan's. Like, I have to eat, but my only caveat is my chef is a woman that I'm attracted to that's attracted to me.
You over here fucking eating?
Yes, because that needs to be, that's going to be, like, I can't. I'm gonna build up all this testosterone in the fitness room, and I can't like exert it.
I couldn't answer the question the way I'm married.
Yeah. So my chef is dropping ass.
Who? If you can have a celebrity that you have a crush on that could be the chef, who would it be?
Probably Meg.
Meg Stallion.
Yeah.
That's okay. That Houston Southern cooking.
Yeah, that's what I want. If not,
shit.
Yeah. Either her or like Coco Jones or something like that.
I just found out about her. Yeah.
She's fun.
Shout out to Coco Jones. Yeah.
you just can give shout outs now, yeah, like she a rapper.
Shout out to Megan Stallion, man. Shout out to Coco Jones. All right, so let's get into our likes and dislikes. Get into our likes and dislikes for this week and our overall scores. And we're gonna have Cam tap into it. You know he's a Bleach fan. Rob, what do you have?
I mean, we were talking a little bit about this before we were in the pre-show, but like this felt like it's starting to slow down a little bit, but it's still cool. Like it's like the fight with Zaraki and Unohana. Like I was like, this is very cool. I even not having a total appreciation for, you know,
what's going on,
all of what's going on. Like I was still just like, oh, this seems like a big deal. Yeah. Like when that sword started talking to him, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I was even telling Brennan, like, I think you're gonna like this. This seems like a pretty big fucking deal.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, it's cool. Like, it definitely, like, they slowed up a little bit. They let off the gas a little bit, but I'm having fun. You know, the characters are a good time. And, you know, they, even though there's a lot happening, so it doesn't ever sit in one place for too long. So it moves, and the episodes go by quick. I'm excited to see where it goes. It's dipped a little bit, but I'll give it a 7,800.
300. Ice.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it, especially watching Bleach. I think this is a real big payoff time. I'm enjoying seeing Zaraki. He's probably one of my favorite Soul Reapers and overall characters on the show. I think he is a breath of fresh air given the rest of the court guards. This span of episodes. And, you know, I like the Captain Zero. Like, I like him with the fucking bubble vest and everything, his style and everything. And it matches. And he's not necessarily, because at first I initially got upset because I'm like, why you got to have the ladies? Why he got to be performing? But it's like,
yeah, there was a lot of that that I was like,
yeah, I didn't initially like that. But then after seeing it more, it's like, okay, you're like more of a superstar versus like a rapper. Like, sure. You're just like, right. All right, you're just like a larger than life type of dude. Yeah. And like, once I got that, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, all right, y'all get a pass. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I give it a 7,400.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I felt like it was a little bit performative. At first, too. And I was just like, come on, man, don't do this to us, man. We ain't got many characters, man. Yeah, shit. Yeah. But yeah, it slowed down to me. I think I'm excited for it to pick up. The fight scene between the Kenpachis or whatever.
Yeah,
that was dope to see. Yeah. And even not, like I said, not seeing what, 4 or 5 seasons that me and Rob having chances to see, whatever.
At least hundreds of episodes.
Brendan,
like, was showing me some fights this week, like out of context. I'm just like, what the fuck? How much happened on the show?
Yeah.
So much happened on the show.
Yeah, he was showing me some fight with this dude that goes crazy, and when Ichigo like turned full hollow mode, and he's like, this dude's like the 4th strongest car or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what did he show you? Like the
Murcielago.
The one with the wings. And the
The dude that just went crazy.
When Ichigo goes crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
One place, what's it called, Rob?
Was that
the place that he fought him in?
Hueco Mundo.
Hueco Mundo.
Hueco
Mundo.
Land. Yeah, so I mean, still for me, like even watching this season, I'm still like enjoying this season without knowing all of that stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I still feel like I'm like, this is dope to me. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is hard to pull off for any type of media
anime with this many episodes coming before it.
And I think this gives credit to the Legend of Bleach in a sense, like where this is a big three. This is considered a lot of people's greatest of all time.
Yeah,
it's holding its own by itself on this particular season, and I'm
new guys.
Yeah, against the new cast, I'm fully invested for sure. But these episodes did slow down a little bit for me, and me giving it the score that has nothing to do with this overall season so far. It's just like, all right, this is just the episodes. This is slow, so I'm giving it a 7,300. But it's not you know, in reference to like how Bleach is this season, these episodes. What about you, Kane? What you got for us to close it out?
I mean, I'd give it, I think, like an 8,000. I mean, not everything has to be fighting. I appreciate the moments that they take to take their time and tell the story. And this just makes the fights that much more worth it, because now you have all this backstory. And I really like these moments because they're giving us more.
The backstory was fire, actually.
Into the backstory of some of the characters. He really never told the story. It's like Unohana, we've never.
She's been chilling.
Yeah, we've never heard any of her backstory at all. She was just the healer, and that was her place, and she stayed in her place, and that was really it. And now we're actually getting more information. It just gives the characters more dimension, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and the fact that she's like, oh yeah, I'm a great healer because I like to fuck people up.
Yeah, which was very interesting. She can heal so well because she just liked to fight forever, and the only way to fight forever is to stay alive forever. So.
Yeah, she's not even the best healer, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so she likes to fuck people up and heal them so she can keep fighting them?
Heal herself or that, but it was to keep fighting, basically, so she would never have to stop.
Yeah, but she learned all that from this dude we just met, Tenjiro, I guess.
Yeah, that's a fire technique to be like, all right, well, you're never going to beat me. I'm just going to keep healing from this shit.
Yeah.
And what did Brennan get? He gave it an 8,100?
81, I think.
I think Brennan gave it, he gave it a bitch-ass 8,100. That's what,
If anything, I'm upset because I just found out there's only 13 episodes in this arc.
Yeah, that's
that's crazy. It seems like they have so much left to do.
There's no way.
It feels like they have a lot to wrap up. Because also, they just revealed this big thing with Ichigo not being...
Yeah,
we knew he wasn't fully Soul Reaper, but now we know that he's not even half human. He's half Quincy, we're assuming.
Yeah. Right.
And that's a huge thing to reveal and then be like, oh, we'll tell you about it in the next 2 episodes.
this is
they're not 22 minutes each.
This is I got a real quick question for you, because I know they were talking a little bit about this in the Insta group chat. Was that like reveal with Unohana, especially for like Ice and Cam, like, do you think they gave that enough time, like, and with the explanation of her, like, Bankai or whatever? Because there was a couple people that were just like, I wanted, like, 3 or 4 episodes of this.
I think 3 or 4 episodes would have been sick.
Yeah,
it would have been too much.
Yeah.
It would have been way too much.
Because it's like, they're not, we, they as great as it was, we ain't come to see you, Otis.
It's, a side character, 2 episodes. They gave her 2 episodes or a full part, because it was kind of, the arc was going on while other stuff was going on, too. So, like, a full episode of just that, their story and their fight. Yeah, I think it was fine.
Sure. Okay. I was just curious. Because, for me, I'm just like, that's all I needed to see of that. But, I haven't been waiting to see what these characters can do.
Because, like, the type of fight, it would have been kind of, because there was not really, you knew someone was going to have to come out alive.
Yeah.
And someone was going to have to come out dead. Mm-hmm. And both of them were super powerful, and it was kind of already predicted that Unohana was like, I'm going to lose against you because I have to train you to become better. So we already kind of knew the outcome. So seeing that more of her just slashing Zaraki a bunch of times.
Yeah. And it wasn't like the animation for it. And it was dark in there, too. So it's like, you can only do so much in that space.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I had to watch it again because there's too much light in the room I was watching it in. So I had to move so I could see all that.
Yeah. You know, you don't cut your blinds down? Because I know I always, yeah, like, when it comes to that, I always close the blinds.
Because I have a projector, so like any amount of light could wash out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let us know what y'all think in the comment section, or let us know what y'all think. This will be coming out on Friday on YouTube also. So let us know y'all think in the comment section of these two episodes. I also want to know what do y'all think Bleach versus My Hero, in the sense of how these two seasons right now are kind of pairing up. What do you think, what seasons is better for you guys? Because, like I said, these seasons have been fucking crazy to me, both of these two. Yeah. I'm super excited. I think Keith texts me. Keith and my brother text me and spoil some shit. My brother texted me, which was like, I was just like, I didn't
watch. I thought you liked that, Keenan.
Ooh, let me tell you something. Shit. All right, everybody. I like spoilers at my will. Mm. When I'm looking for spoilers, that's when I like spoilers. Mm. But if you come send me a spoiler, I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? So, my brother texted me first. And I was like, oh, I didn't get to that part yet. He's like, oh, my bad. I thought she was caught up. I was like, nah, I told you some manga stuff because you wanted to know, but I didn't see this on the show. And then Keith texted me probably a few hours later. Didn't even know. Yo! He texted me all this shit. I'm like, dog, I didn't. He's like, oh, shit, dog. Oof. My bad.
I thought he wasn't even watching.
My Hero?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it My Hero?
My Hero, yeah.
Oh, okay.
My Hero. Yeah, My Hero. So yeah, let us know what y'all think in the comment section. What do you guys have for your ads and stuff like that? Who you got for us, Rob?
I'm gonna plug in smiles.digital.art on Instagram. They got a pretty cool watercolor style. It looks like they do a lot of digital art. When I took the screenshot of this, their last upload was a watercolor painting of Messi. So he called that. Check them out on Instagram, smiles.digital.art.
All right, we got Cam at Stickman Studios. No C, just a K, because he don't want to get caught out here in these Crip streets. You know,
that's exactly
what he was thinking. Yeah. Bitch ass producers at Bitch Ass Producers Dub. Brennan Producers on all platforms. Ice.
Ice.McGowan on everything. Please, if you haven't, hop on my YouTube, support all the stuff that I got a lot of long form stuff dropping, so check out my long form stuff and watch it, all of it, so we can get this shit popping.
Keenan Baker on every single thing, man. This is the last time I can tell you this because this will be the last podcast of the year. New Year's show of Virginia Beach. I'll be there with Tony. I'll be featuring for Tony. So New Year's in Virginia Beach. If you are there, please show up. Let me know that you are part of the animation crew, the Shun Gang, whatever. Dude didn't hit me up, man. Dude from Arizona was supposed to send me his name and stuff like that, so I can give him a shout out on the podcast, but he didn't. But if he does after this, I'll still give him a shout out after this.
Shout out to you, sir.
Shout out to you in Arizona. The cast in Arizona, thanks for all of y'all that pulled up. We be having fans, man, for real, which is dope. Every show that I do, somebody pulls up and be like, yo, Shun Gang.
I mean, a few hundred people watch the YouTube that we've been starting to put up again. So that's
And people hit me up and, messages online. That's just it's crazy that, because I mean, I know you were talking about, I just if we just threw this out into a void and nothing happened, we wouldn't do it. Sometimes, not that I'm saying that's how it feels, but I'm just I'm always surprised when somebody's just listening and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, that's so crazy. So,
to have fans is kind of nuts when you sit back and think about it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because we're just We're not at that celebrity level where people are like, of course we have fans. We're like, wait, people know who I am and I don't know who they are. That's right. It's a weird situation to be in.
Exactly. I gotta work on not getting defensive when somebody's staring at me too long, because I'd be like, looking at me.
What are you looking at?
Keenan's beating up
our fans. You're the dude from, I'm like, hey! But initially, my body language and face is kind of like, hey,
what
man.
What the fuck you on, bro?
Yeah, what you doing, bro?
I'll sock you out.
Yeah, and then the last thing I want to do is sock somebody out or get socked out.
I really fuck with you, man. Yeah,
we had to kick Keenan off the podcast. He beat up one of our fans.
I would have to.
Oh, my God.
But thank y'all for always showing us love, man. We really do all appreciate that shit, man. Even bitch ass Brennan does. So, we'll be back January 3rd. January 3rd is when we'll be back. So, that's going to be our little hiatus, man. So, go back and watch the episodes that you didn't. That that you missed, man. Yes. You catch up. I know there's a lot of y'all that it started in the middle somewhere. Start from day one. You got over 200 and something fucking episodes to catch up on, man.
You can skip to like day 20. There's some of those
first
I think some of our early episodes were kind of fun. They're all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's fun to see like where you came from and then move on. But
yeah,
no,
I'm gonna go rewatch. I'm gonna go re-listen to episode one and see how bad it was, Rob.
That's
shit.
Funny.
Well, thank y'all, man, for tuning in to another episode of Animation. See y'all January 3rd, man. Peace.
Happy New Year.
And so anime was solved forever.